Like to say good morning to everyone. We're very thankful to have each and every person on the call. We appreciate those, especially who are not members of the Church of Christ, for joining us on this morning. We want you to know that in the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right. If you want to be saved, you got to go back to this book. This book is the only answer of what man must do to save his soul. We believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross and shed his blood and washed his sins away according to the Bible. Revelation 1 and verse 5. Jesus gave the command to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. And that baptism is when you're saved. And then the Lord then adds you to the one true church, and that is the Church of Christ, the one in the church, the Bible, and one church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, praise God, have faith with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the Lord adds to the church, the Church of Christ. There's only one church in the body, Ephesians 4:4. So there is one body. That body means church. There's but one God, one Lord, and Father of all, who is above God, and Father of all, who is above all, and in you all. That's Ephesians 4:4-6. Now, so if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we hope you will be by obeying the gospel today. You can do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing that you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, and being baptized. We can make that happen no matter where you are in our listening audience. For the brothers and sisters across the nation who may be joining us and have been joining us during these services online through video conference call, we welcome you to our call. We pray you have been blessed by joining us. To the Holly Heights family, we would ask you to please stay on at the end of the services. I'll come back on. I've got some important announcements to make regarding our return to worship services in person. All right. Now, this morning, we all know about the war that's going on in Russia. Russia has invaded Ukraine, and you got some of the world who call themselves Christians and evangelists and people who leading the discussion and wondering, is this the end of the world? And every time something goes on, we have these people coming on TV and making claims that they know this is a biblical prophecy. What's getting ready to happen, all of us must brace because this is the sign of the end of the world. We got people talking about because political figures are pushing their own narratives and agendas about getting away from that gasoline, coal-fired emissions that are going out from gas and things of that nature that are going up in there, and the climate is being destroyed. And one of the politicians said the world will end in 12 years. We don't do something about that. Now, so I thought maybe it's better that we go back and ask the Lord about when that world is going to end. When will be the end of the world? But I can just tell you right quick that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, we remember that Noah built the ark and God opened that great deluge up and the water came down on the earth as never before. But God made a statement there, and some people are saying because, you go outside and it seems like it's hotter than normal, or it's colder than normal, or we got all these things going on. It's indicating the end of the world because it seems like days and nights are different and all these kind of things. But let's listen to the Bible. Put aside all the political information that you're receiving from the world and go back to the Bible. In Genesis chapter 8. In verse 20, the Bible says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore, for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. He said, I won't do it like that. Like I just did with the water. That's what he's saying. He said, now, while the earth remained, notice this now, seed time, we'll be able to grow food, harvest, you'll be able to collect it, cold, it's going to be winter, heat, summer, winter, and day and night shall not cease. So that just killed Ocasio-Perez, whatever her name is, saying that she, this climate change is going to make all these changes in the world. And just got to be careful who you listen to. So these people say whatever they think. And no biblical grounds for it. And you got the so-called TV evangelists and all these guys coming on. I read the article today. Russia's war on Ukraine has some, quote-unquote, Christians wondering, is this the end of the world? Earlier this morning, California mega church pastor Greg Laurie, who was part of President Trump's inner circle pastor advisor, told his followers that he saw a prophetic significance to what is happening in Ukraine. A Christian broadcasting network could be the mark of the beast, a biblical sign for Satan in the end. So they're saying that now. The mark of the beast, if you go back to my Revelation study, it was the mark of a beast, the mark of a man. It was a number of men. That means that, and I taught how man was the one who left the truth. Anyone who follows what man-made doctrines are following the mark of the beast. That's all it is, a number of men, 666. Now, in Jesus' teaching in Mark, and we're going to be in Matthew and Mark's account of this lesson this morning. Now, I won't be completed this morning. You have to come back for the grand finale this afternoon if you're really interested in this study, so you'll know what to believe. But you got to put aside what you hear on TV and what people are saying. Those gentlemen who are, and women who consider themselves preachers and prophecies and prophets and can tell you something you don't know. We go and listen to Jesus. He said in Mark 13, when we go over there first, he says, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Now this is Jesus' final departure from the temple. He's only a few days away from his death by crucifixion. So one of the disciples said, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. He's talking about the buildings at that time. It was a Herod's temple. Herod's temple was one of the wonders of the world at that time. And some of the stones were said to be 40 feet long by 12 feet high and 18 feet wide. So this is something they're looking at. Wonderful buildings that are impressive right there in their face with Jesus standing there with them. Verse 2, Jesus answered and said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? Jesus comes back with a question about the buildings that they're looking at. These shall not be left, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall be thrown down. See, so Jesus come back, y'all see the buildings you're looking at? Do you see the buildings that you admire? They shall not be left one stone upon another. So they're going to be tore up. And history says, if you go back to the history of the temples at that time, Josephus and Eusebius are known as Jewish historians. Just like somebody tell the history of America. There'll be things in the history of America written by historians such as 9/11. That's history now. So that happened in Jerusalem, and it was that temple was restored in AD 70. And not one stone was left upon another temple. So that's what he was speaking of right there. And he set upon the Mount of Olives, verse 3, and against the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately. So Peter now, James, John, and Andrew went straight to Jesus with a private question. They had a question of interest that they wanted to have. This is verse 4. Here it is. Tell us, when shall these things be? He's talking about this temple stuff he's talking about. When is this going to happen? And then they ask another question. What shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Now, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 24, the text that was read in your hearing. So Mark gives an account of it. Matthew gives an account of it. I like Mark's account because there's some details in that that's not in the Matthew account. So go back to Matthew 24 and verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciple came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Same, it's the same setting. So Matthew is telling about it now. And Jesus said unto them, see not ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, shall not be thrown down. And as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, this is where he's preaching from, the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, now watch the questions. More, Matthew puts another one in here with it. Tell us when these things shall be. Like they Mark said. What shall the sign of that coming? That's the second question. And the third question that they wanted to answer was, and of the end of the world. These are the questions posed to Jesus himself. Many people today, as did these disciples, want to know the answer to these questions. And some believe that if Putin shoot a nuclear bomb, then that's going to be the end of the world. Well, some of these answers will pertain, that Jesus gave will pertain to what would affect those disciples at the time they were living. Have nothing to do with us. Some pertains to how it will affect us. Also, Jesus, in this study, intermingled the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world, so we must be careful that we don't go in there and pull out verses and try to apply it to today, because it may not be applicable to today when we're studying prophecy. Prophecy means a telling of the future. And we can't go beyond, brothers and sisters, what is written. And you have to understand what is written, so you got to be careful who you're listening to as well. Jesus began to preach this sermon as an answer to these three questions. And we'll get to the first one this morning and the second two this afternoon. Listen to, let's go back to Mark's account now. And Mark chapter 13 and verse 5. Now he says, verse 5, and Jesus answered them and began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. See, deception is stuff we hear on TV, and some people listening to the news rather than reading the Bible. Note, Jesus answered this question. He warns them to be careful and let not man deceive them on any questioning, particularly these. So Jesus tells them up front, people are going to deceive you by with these answering these type of questions. Verse 6, he said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. It happened back then, and people, it's still happening today. Mark verse 7, 13, 7. And when you shall hear, why here it is, of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be. But look what Jesus said. But the end shall not be yet. Jesus says, just because you hear wars, does not mean it's the end. Now we could should stop right there, and it kills all these so-called religious prophets telling us that this is the sign of the end. We could stop right there if we wanted to, but we're going to study the whole thing. But Jesus said, don't be troubled by that. Just because you hear of a war, does that mean the end is near? However, the deceiver will use that as a sign. You know, I've seen this one on TV. Yeah, I was just watching. I knew that's what he was talking about. Y'all already trying to talk about putting fear in people that this is the end of the world. And all they're doing is trying to get more money, get people to come to their building. Because when more people come to their building in fear of the world coming to the end, the more money they're going to make. That's all it is. Now, we have heard this said, if you like me. When I was growing up, I heard that said as well. Oh, boy. What are we going through now? Oh, we're hearing wars and rumors. This is a sign of the end of the world. It's not a sign of the end of the world. Wars have been going on forever. I'm sure you heard that too. But listen, let's be careful about repeating something we've heard rather than saying, well, that's what my mama said. Well, your mother is not always right. She's not God. My mom's not God. I heard my family say things like that. But the truth is, wars, rumor wars, has nothing to do with the end of the world as a sign. The Bible is right, and we must believe every word of it. But what he says in verse 8, for nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, at Gallup TV this morning, exactly what the verse he went to, and said, this is what's happening right now. This is going on right now. Well, he says, Jesus, let's see how Jesus deal with this. And there shall be earthquakes. And divers, we've been having earthquakes. Shall be famines and troubles. And these are the beginnings of sorrows. This is what he said. Jesus said, many of these events took place. It would take place, the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, when the temples were destroyed. Many of these events are continuing to happen as we live. Now, Jesus said, it's the beginnings of sorrows. We heard of pestilence and somebody using the pandemic as a sign of the end of time. Well, it's been pestilence and also famines way before now. Not the first time something like this has happened. Not a sign of the end of time. Jesus simply said, these are the beginnings of sorrows. These are the kind of things that none of us want to see happen. But Jesus said it would happen. Notice what Jesus told them. He said, but take heed to yourselves. But he's speaking to those four men who asked him this question. You take heed to yourself, that they shall deliver you. Now he's specifically telling them what's going to happen to the councils and to the synagogue. You, talking about Peter now, shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings of my earth, for my sake, for a testimony against them. Jesus told them, that's not the end, but the beginning. You better be watching out for you. And these are the men that will follow him, and many of them would lose their lives as a result of it. He said, here's what you need to watch out for. They're going to take you to the councils. They're going to take you to the synagogue. You're going to get beaten. You'll be bought up for rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Here you got to be them. You got to be Peter then. Now they know he's talking about this getting ready to happen to us. That's exactly what he was telling. Peter and John, if you read the Bible, Peter and John stood before the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, and the Sanhedrin court. And that's recorded in Acts chapter 4. Is that already happened? 5 through 21. Stephen was stoned before the council. That's already going to happen. It's recorded in Acts 6. James and Peter stood before Herod the Great in Acts 12. Paul stood before Nero and the Roman governors, Felix and Festus. And that's recorded in Acts 18. Now, according to Josephus, the Jewish historians for Jerusalem, Peter, they say, was crucified head down, for he was not worthy to die. That's history. That ain't in the Bible. But this is what they said happened. James had his head cut off by Herod. John suffered persecution and was abandoned on the Isle of Patmos. We know that happened because it's in the book of Revelation. And Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. These are all history of people who were living at the time these men were living, and it's written. And again, Josephus is one of the Jewish historians, and Eusebius. So you can go read Jewish history, the history of Jerusalem, and you'll find all these writings in there. Just like you want to know the history of America, you go to American historians, and they're writing. It may not be in the Bible. It's the history of what has happened in times and lives of these people. Now, these men, we can note, knew they had made a great sacrifice to follow the Lord. Now, I think that's biblical today, that we're going through a lot of things. We're seeing more the morality of the world is going, just getting terrible. I mean, what we see going on today in the world is men and women, homosexuality, all kind of things, killing babies. It's all this stuff is going on. But it's not new. They've been doing this stuff. Sodom and Gomorrah was filled with homosexuality. That wasn't the end of the world. A lot of things happened. But Christians today, we have to be willing to do what these men did and sacrifice whatever is necessary for us to get the gospel out to the world. We're still on this earth for a purpose. As Christians, especially members of the Church of Christ, our purpose is to share the gospel with a lost and dying world, and we will see Jesus say here. He said the gospel, verse 10, must first be published among all nations. See, Jesus said, before all things happen, the gospel must be published among all nations. What did Peter and them do right after Jesus was resurrected from the grave? They started preaching the gospel. That was the beginning of the good news being preached, what Peter preached on Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 souls were saved. After they crucified Jesus, he told them, "Yeah, I killed Jesus." And they said, "Men and brother, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Now, I'm preaching that same gospel today, that men and women must believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the Calvary and shed his blood and washed their sins away, and that baptism is God's command, Jesus' command, for us to be saved. And that same gospel is still being preached. But in verse 11, he said, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you, take no thought." They take no thought when he's telling them back to talking to these guys. He's not talking to them. He's talking to them. "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up," see that? "Deliver you up," then he says, "take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not yet that speak, not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." Now, this gets back to Jesus was telling them, these men had a purpose that you and I don't have, and that is they would have to finish writing what we read today in the New Testament. These were the apostles. These are the men who would be guided to write the Bible, complete the Bible. The Old Testament was finished. But Jesus, now these men that Jesus chose as the apostles, they wrote the rest of the Bible as we have it today. And how did they do it? They were guided by the Spirit. That's what Jesus said. "What you're going to write this, you're going to speak, but it's not you to speak, but the Holy Ghost." So he told them, "Don't worry about what they're saying. The Holy Ghost will guide you." John 16:13. "Howbeit," Jesus said, "when the Spirit of truth shall come, he will guide you into all truth." That's what he told them. And it happened. 2 Peter 1:20-21. The Bible said, "Knowing this verse, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came, not in old time, by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So what we have in the Bible today, this what we have, what we're reading right there, Mark 13, is written by these men who were guided by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, 2 Peter 3:16. It's given by God. It's given to us by God. God used the Holy Spirit to speak through these men, and they put it in writing. And it is written in what we call today as the Bible. The Bible doesn't use the word Bible. Bible means a library of books. So we have 66 books in the Bible. This book, the holy book, is called Scriptures. It's written in Scriptures. We have those Scriptures today, and that's what we're studying from this morning. This is why we can believe the Bible. What these men spake were the words of God, guided by the Holy Spirit, for us to know what's right and wrong, or even know what is the conclusion of this whole matter that we live in, this life. So you got to say, the Bible is right, every word of it. Now remember, he is still dealing with what will happen to them and not us. Go back to Mark's account. Let's catch up over there in verse 4. Mark 24:4. After they asked him about the end of the world, he says, "Take heed," same thing Mark said. Jesus answered, saying unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. But many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So Matthew recorded the same thing. "A nation shall rise against a nation." That's going on. "Kingdoms against kingdom." That was going on. "There shall be famine." Here it is. "Pestilences That's what COVID-19 was. But it was a whole lot before that. It's not the first time we've had a pandemic. It's been going on. Earthquakes, been happening. In diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, things that will bring sorrow to people. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And ye, then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many, because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endure unto the end, verse 13, same shall be saved. Then he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, he's telling them in Mark's account, he told them exactly what he says here. He said a few other things he included. Matthew includes the pestilences and things like that, and inclusion of the continuation of a preaching before the end happens. Now, there is another end that you need to be aware of, and that is the end called death. That's coming to all of us. And whether the world ends or not, that's the end of the opportunity for you to get right with God. Now, let's go back to Mark. Verse 12, Mark 13, 12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, shall cause them to be put to death. This was going to happen then, and it's still happening now. Brothers killing brothers, families turning on sons, children turning against parents and killing them. This is evil. These are the kind of things that have been going on for a long time. These are the kind of things that are still happening today. But it's not a sign that the world has come to the end. It's been going on for a long, long time. This is a terrible world, brothers and sisters, that we live in. We live in a terrible world. Important. No. Notice, these things were the beginning of sorrow, and not signs of the end of time. Jesus said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus said to them, they will hate you, but don't give up. Hold on, that salvation may be yours. We must remember this today. Even in the church, we must stand up for truth. We may be hated because we stand up for truth, for the name of Christ, for the book that's written. But we must endure until the end. Again, Jesus said to his disciples, be thou faithful unto death, and you receive your crown of life. These disciples asked three questions. Tell us why. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of that coming and the end of the world? And what Jesus just dealt with was the first question. When will these things be? And Jesus simply told them, you're going to see it. So it happened in a lifetime. It happened then, and there are things going on, but he was specifically telling them what they was getting ready to witness there in the time they were living, and what was going to happen to them when they start preaching Christ and him crucified. But brothers and sisters, we still are preaching Christ and him crucified. As your minister, I already know that I got to preach the truth, because the Bible tells us there will be a time when men will not endure sound doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanded to abstain from meat, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, but to be received with thanksgiving, but it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So Bible teaching us, Paul is telling Timothy, latter time, so I'm going to lead the faith. What is the faith? Though the faith we believe in is the Bible. Romans 10:17 tells us faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now listen carefully if you're on the call. If you're on the call and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, if you are a member of the Church of Christ, some of these things I talk about you should already know, really. In first principle teaching, you learn that these are things that were going on at the time. But if you just learned it, now you know. But let's understand what's happening, what's really happening in the world we're living in. And what's happening in the world we're living in, that men and women have left and departed from the faith. You're seeing churches on every corner teaching different things. You turn on the TV, you hold up the Bible, and they teach whatever they want to teach. Now remember, Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He said, in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So the doctrines of the devil and the doctrines of men are the same thing. Seducing spirits and doctrine of the devil. How you know that, bro? They speak in lies and hypocrisy. A lot of what we're hearing today is good. These guys are women too. Women preachers. Men preachers. No matter who they are, stand up saying they are preachers. Are preaching lies and hypocrisy. And it doesn't bother their conscience. That they, their conscience is seared with a high iron. That's why in verse 3 he says, forbidding the marriage. Now we know that this is a Roman Catholic church. We know this is a Roman Catholic church because they tell their priests they can't marry, and they tell the nuns they can't marry. And then secondly, they command them to abstain from certain meats. It's right here in the Bible. That's if you go to a church where they don't want you to eat meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving on a certain day, or they say you to be a Christian, or to you got to be celibate, and you can't marry. That didn't come from God. That came from the devil. Because the devil knows that man is not designed for man to be alone. He know that. And so that's why these Roman Catholic priests are raping these little boys and girls. Raping these little boys, men. That's what's going on. Those nuns can't stay without a man. It's recorded history that they would get pregnant by some of the priests and then abort the baby and bury it. Where is all this coming from? The Spirit speaking this presently, that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines, plural, of devils. And a lot of people want to hear this. So we want to believe that as long as you're good, as long as you're standing up for God, as long as you're using God's name, as long as you're using Christ, all that. No. Jesus said they're going to be calling themselves Christ. They're going to be talking as if this is something God is saying. But what about a man who don't have a wife? Should he have a wife? Well, go back to the scripture. They left this, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, Paul said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, he never gave a command to a man not to touch a woman. If it's good if he can, not too many can. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, there's the sin. A man having sexual intercourse with a woman, and they're not married, that's fornication. Let every man have his own wife. That's what God said. The devil told him that you can't, don't marry. God said, no, get your wife. And let every woman have her own husband. And he said, let the husband run unto the wife, do benevolence. Now, that's not benevolence as we use benevolence in the world. We use benevolence as giving them stuff, giving up foods and things like that. Now, this is talking about having an intimate relationship with a man and a woman. Likewise, let the husband run unto the wife, do benevolence. And likewise, also the wife unto the husband. Now, what is that? This is the problem we're up against today. The men and women are out there teaching things that God never told them to teach. And the problem is that what they're teaching is something that didn't come from God. And let's remember that the reason why we have a different church on every corner teaching different things is because of the doctrines of devils. Yeah. The doctrines of devils. Any man or woman who will preach something that's against the will of God and make the truth a lie will have to answer to God in the last day. Yeah. See, so Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 16 says, all scripture given by the inspiration of God, but it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16, I'm sorry. We say it's all scripture given. Here's how we know what to do. We use scripture. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That means breath. The scriptures that we read are given to us from God, from the breath of God, and it's profitable. Notice it's the beginning of what is how it's going to profit us as a reader for doctrine. There's but one doctrine that's going to save us, not doctrines, not all these different things being taught today, for reproof, for correction, for instructions. That's what the scripture is given to us for. It's one doctrine, 2 John verse 9. That doctrine that we must believe today is called the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9. That whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, notice that, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And what has happened today is that what Jesus said in Matthew 58, here's what's going on in the world today, and as I mentioned it a while ago, you can go over there and read this. Here's what happened today. He said in verse number 8, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips. There's the people that in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That's what he said. Their heart is far from me. I mean, they know the heart he's talking about, not in their chest area. That's not like, I got Jesus in my heart. I know for sure that I'm saved because I can feel it in my heart. That's not what he's talking about. When he say heart, he's talking about the mind, where you got to take the scriptures and put it in your brain. And you got to listen to what the scriptures say to get the instructions in righteousness or to get the correct answers. You can't get correct answers from men. You got to go back to the Bible. Jesus said, now, he don't deny that these people are worshiping him. He said, in vain they do worship me. These are so-called Christians using the name of Jesus, teaching things in his name, such as the Roman Catholic Church, such as the denominational churches, such as those churches, the community churches, all of them that's teaching these different ways, accept Jesus in your heart. That's one. Lord, I'm a sinner. I accept him as my personal Savior. They don't teach you no baptism or anything. Or they'll say, baptism is not necessary. Baptism is just a sign, an outward sign of inward belief. Now, I grew up in the Baptist church. That's what they teach. That is not what the Bible teaches. That's not a put down on Baptist people. That's a put down on anyone who listens to a man over the scripture or a woman over the scripture, which I will deal with shortly. We must understand the problem today, what we should be worried about, is not when the world is going to end, is that are you going to die in this state when you're worshiping on the doctrines and commandments of men? Now, we must understand that when you got a preacher, now I'm going to stand against this. I'm going to teach these direct teachings of the New Testament. I'm going to teach against denominational worship. I'm going to teach against the sinner's prayer. I'm going to teach against women preachers. And the Bible teaches us that they are to be silent. And any woman who believes the Bible will be silent. That's all there is to it. If they believe the Bible, they won't skip over. They will say, well, they'll say things like, well, Paul was a male chauvinist. Well, Paul was an apostle. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. It's not that God has anything against women. You got your role and I got mine. I can't have a baby. No matter how much the homosexuals want to have a baby, they can't. No matter how much they do to change their boy from their bodies, they remove what God, what they were born with, put something else there, still can't have no baby. Why? Why? I'll tell you why, because God didn't design it like that. God designed male and female. He also gave us all, he gave us a role. I'm the husband, the head of the wife, that's right. I'm the husband, and my wife would be the wife. Man, male and female. What God had joined, let no man put asunder. What did he put asunder? You can't take a man to marry a man. That's not okay. Women marrying women, that's not okay. Women ought to be silent in the church. 1 Corinthians 14:34. He tells us that. He tells us they ought to be silent. And if they believe it, he said if they will learn anything, let them have their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That's 1 Corinthians 14:34-35. Let your women keep silent in the church. It's not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also in the law. And if they learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home for the shame. Now, any woman reading this who calls herself a woman of God, who believes in God and believes in the Scripture, will shut up. So why try to put? There's some good women out there. There's a lot of great testimonies and all that. It's not about testimonies. It's not about testimonies. All of us got some great things we can say about the Lord. There are people out there that can say some things. Don't you know there are people who don't even believe in God? They don't even believe in God. Good things are happening to them. It's not a sign that you're saved because you got a blessing. You know, man, I know I'm saved. God had blessed me to come home from the hospital. Well, he blessed atheists to come home from the hospital. He gave them water to drink. He gave the atheists air to breathe. He let them go to the doctors. They come home. Their cancer goes into remission too. They make it through a tragic accident and still live. People who don't even believe in God got mansions, plenty of money. And then you hear people say, well, I'm too blessed to be distressed. You're not blessed if you're lost. These things are temporal. These things we're talking about are temporal. They're not spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings here comes to people who obey God. The prayer is a spiritual blessing. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord open to righteous, and ears open to their prayers. That's a spiritual blessing, but he turns his face against them to do evil. Now, the world wants us to believe that God hears everyone's prayer. In John 9:31, the blind man was healed by Jesus with mud spit. And the blind man said, this we know, God hears not sinners. How did he know that? Well, he knew the Old Testament, Isaiah 59:1-2, which says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short, that he cannot say, neither hear him, but that he cannot hear, but your iniquity. Iniquity is when men and women do what they want to do and make law fit to what they want to speak. That's why you see all this stuff going on. That's why you see all these different churches, these different men and women doing things they say, promoting God, and they want to see what's going on. That's an iniquity. God never told you to do that. He never told us to build a church. I could build my own church today, put my name on it. I could put the church of Tommy Brooks, who speaks for Christ, and folk would come in there because I use Christ's name. But it's really my church, and I can make much money as I want. I can take as many collections as I want. I can tell the people to sign your tax over to me. That's what they do in Houston, Hilliard. They have to turn in their tax forms. Y'all didn't know that? What's going on? You tell me what's going on. It's doctrines of devils. Doctrines of men. And I hope somebody on the call is listening. Perhaps you're in some of those churches. Perhaps you're doing some of this. But understand this. There is coming an end. So I said, Brother Brooks, are you saying to me that these people, so that these women preachers, are going to be lost? Yes. Yeah. Me and Carlos Severo. When we call ourselves reverent, listen to the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 11, he said, let your woman learn in silence without subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. See, God, what God did is he put men out front to protect the church, to protect the flock. Pastors are going to be men, husbands of one wife. A woman can never be a pastor because she's not the husband of one wife. She can never be a pastor. Pastor means elder, means overseer. The pastor of a flock is always in a plurality, which means there's more than one. And Paul gives the qualification for bishops, a pastor, to be the husband of one wife, 1 Timothy 3, 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. There's no woman today living that can be the husband of one wife. I know, you see it. Well, this woman, she's the husband, and this woman, she's the wife. That's made up by man. Both of them got what women are made with. She could never be a pastor. Not according to the scripture. Now, what are you saying, brother? Here's what I'm telling everyone that's listening, and even those of us that are people who are leaving the Church of Christ today. That's nothing new. They left the church in the first century. There's nothing new. When people don't believe in the Bible, listen carefully to me. If a person do not believe in all of the Bible being right, then they gonna put the part, they take the part, which is called cherry picking, out of the Bible. They take Jesus out and use him. And because he's loving, he's kind, and he gave his life for everybody. So they use that love story for their own benefit. Because their iniquities, or they're making up something because of their own belief system. What are you saying, Brother Bruce? If you want to call it in and you have a belief that the Bible disagrees with, you will die an unbeliever. Because you got to believe all of it. Hebrews 11, 6. First of all, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Then Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. He to come to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What faith do we have? Where does our faith come from? It don't come from our mama and daddy. It comes from the Bible. And that's what we must continue to obey, but continue to preach. So if you're on the call today, I went through a whole lot of things that are being said today. The end of the world is coming. This is it. The COVID-19 is a sign. The Russian war is a sign. You got men call himself reverend. The Bible says holy reverend is God's name. Got a man call himself Father up there in Rome, Holy Father. But Jesus said, call no man Father. It's just like people just ignore what the Bible says. Ignore it. Is the world corrupt? Yeah. Is it morally degrading? Yes, always have been. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse. But none of those are signs of the end of time. You got to come back this afternoon, and I'll give you the answer to the question. When will the end of the world happen? That's coming this afternoon. But here's what I want to talk to you about as I close. If you want to call this morning, and you've been going through some things, you really feel like something's going on in your life, and you want to call because you want to be closer to God, I want you to listen very carefully to me. God gives us all the time in our lives. I call it the timeline. You're born, and we will die. But it comes a day when everyone, a person, starts to seek God for themselves. They seek him based on truth. Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour coming now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and the truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. I want you to listen carefully, and I'm talking to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. So you may have heard something that disturbed you. That's good. Because if you're disturbed because you didn't know it, and you just learned something, that you just read it, then that's a good disturbance. You need to be disturbed. But the blessing is, if you seek it to be a true worshiper, the Bible said, Jesus said, the Father seeketh such. So you may be near your death. You may be, this may be the last sermon you hear. But God has given you the chance. This might be it. I don't know why you're on this call. Something going on in your life. Something going on in your marriage. Something going on with your children. Something tragically that happened. You're in a trauma. You're trouble. And you're on this call. Someone invited you to hear. I want you to hear me now. Hear me. When you start seeking truth, God seeks you. And when God seeks you, he puts you in front of truth. Here's one thing I know you can't do. Nothing I say, you can say you don't believe if you say you believe in the Bible. But if you say you believe in the Bible, but you don't believe what I say from the Bible, then you don't believe in the Bible. Makes you an unbeliever. But if you've been seeking truth, no matter if you've been baptized before, no matter if you're in a denomination church somewhere, you need to understand this. Understand what God wants. God is not willing that any of us perish, but all of us come to repentance. He wants you to repent. You should repent today, believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died for you. Be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then the Lord adds you to the Church of Christ. And then you stick with us, and we'll teach you these basic truths. You should be taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We don't tithe, we give. We sing without the help of instrumental music. We sing as they did in the New Testament. We pray. Men preach. Men are in leadership roles. This is the way God designed it. You want to be a part of what's going of the Bible, the biblical example of how the Christians worship. You can only find that in the churches of Christ. You won't find us with pianos and organs and guitars and fiddles and chorus. The whole church sings. Everybody sings. Because it's an individual worship. Once you obey God, it's you and him. You commune with him. And you do that not on the first Sunday of the month, as we were told, or somebody told us. The disciples, upon the first day of the week, which is Sunday, broke bread. And that's what we do. Every Sunday, we're going to break that bread and drink of it, fruit of the vine. That's right. So you found truth. This is that person. You've been looking for truth. You found it. But look, let me tell you something. Never believe you're going to find the truth among the many. How you say that, brother? Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, any in the straight gate, but wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many will go that way. Here it says verse 14 now. The straightest gate, narrow is the way to lead to life, and few there be. You will never find the truth among the many. The truth will all be among the few. And this I know. This I know. That's the group I want to be in. That's why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Yes, sir. And I want you to be. However, everybody out there, all right. You can do whatever you want to do when it comes to your soul. And don't be foolish. The wisest man ever lived said that it should have concluded the whole matter. Of my life. We ought to fear God and keep his commandments. But this is the whole duty of me. Ecclesiastes 12:13. The whole duty, the time you're born till you die, is you have to answer this question. Did you fear God? Did you keep his commandments? Or did you die? Then he says, Hebrew writer says, appointed the man once to die. After that, there will be a judgment. The end that we all should be worried about, y'all, is not the end of the world. The end that everybody listening, members of the Church of Christ and their members, is the end of your life. For Jesus said in John 8:21, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. If you want to call this morning, and you want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, you want to be baptized for the remission of forgiveness of your sin, you want to be a member of that true church, you come by hearing the gospel story, how God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son. His son came to live among me about 33 years. They brutally beat him, whipped him, spit up on him, mocked him. Put a crown of thorns on his head, a tree of a cross on his back, led him to Calvary. There they executed him by crucifixion, drove nails in his hands and feet. It's a love story. That God so loved you, His Son loved you, that He hung on that cross to save you. He took Him off the cross. They buried Him in a borrowed tomb. He resurrected with all power. In Matthew 28:18, He said, "Go, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." That's what you must do. You believe that. You must now repent of your sins. Luke 13:3. Jesus said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. Number four, you must confess with your mouth what your heart's been made to believe. Romans 10:9-10. Matthew 10:32. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you don't do it now, you will do it in the future. For every knee will bow, every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But that time will be too late. Fifth step, must be baptized. Baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Baptism will wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. Baptism saves, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism is a burial, Romans 6:3, following verses. So you must be buried with Christ. And the sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1:5. And then the Lord adds you to the one church, the Church of Christ. And we're going to give an invitation song at this time. The end of the world is not what you should be worried about. It's the end of your life. For now you live. For tomorrow you may be dead. Would you come this morning as a member of the church? Come back home. You left the truth. You knew the truth and left the truth. You departed from the faith. You have nothing to look for. God consider you as a dog who went back and ate his own mother, or a hog who was washed, went back and laid in the mud again. But Jesus is still on the throne. He's calling you this morning. Come home. Come to me. All you labor heaven later, and I'll give you rest. The Lord wants you to be saved. He wants you to come back. Because this is not the end of the world. But it could be the end of your life. Come back this afternoon for part two. If you want to respond, a song of encouragement will be sung at this time. And we would ask you, hit 5-star on your phone. If you want to be baptized, no matter where you are, we will do it. You want to be saved? You've got to obey God. You've got to obey God. Let us know. If you want to have a confession for prayer or you need prayer, let's pray with you. You have sinned, fallen short as a member of church, confess your fault once another, and we'll pray for you. Prayers of a righteous man, availing much. Let's sing the song of encouragement. And we pray if you would come by hitting 5-star on your phone. The lesson is yours. Part two this afternoon.